following message was recorded at Faith Fellowship St. Pete in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.
Testing. Mary, can you hear me? Hello, is it recording?
Let's see how the green guy is moving on his...
Hello.
The level right there when I did it. Okay, good.
All right, good morning. Thank you, worship team. You guys are awesome. What a blessing they are. Every time. Good to see you all. Good to be seen myself. Had some interesting revelations this week, which I'm going to share with you today from the Lord. One of the weirder Easter weekends for me in my life. And I was reflecting back as I was out sick for about 4 or 5 days last week, and no pity party necessary. It was really more about the fact that I couldn't understand why God wouldn't let me go to church, why I can't be here to worship with you all. It's Easter, after all. He knows how much I love it and how much I think that it's the most important day of any day that we celebrate, and why he was going, having this happen and allowing this to happen. And the time of worship, man, it was so good. As I sat there feeling terrible, but it just kept coming back. He is worthy. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Keep singing it forever and ever. Hallelujah, He is worthy. And I just kept coming back to that. And He wanted me to be still. He wanted me to rest in Him. And it was meaningful once I got outside of myself. And so I say that as I come up here this week and feeling better, and I'm thankful, and how important it is for us to rest, how important it is for us to find balance and to find that place of rest so that we don't get worn down. But even when we're there, that God is still working. That when, even when we don't see it necessarily, He is still working. When we don't feel it, when we're feeling lousy, He is still working, and He is always, always, always worthy. And so good morning. If you've gotten a chance to know me, which is risky business, we know, I don't take compliments very well. My nature. And but over time, I've learned that what God would ask me to do would be more of an encouragement and give encouragement. And when I've had opportunities to be up here, the beginning of every message that I've been privileged to share, it's come to that. It's come to the point where I am so grateful, so humbled, so blessed to be here. And it gives me laser focus on how awesome God is throughout this preparation for a message, and to recognize His grace and His patience and His forgiveness. that he's good all the time. And to encourage you, wherever you are in your walk at right now in your life, whatever it is happening today in your life, whatever good, bad, ugly, in between, whatever it is, the Lord is with you. To remain encouraged that he loves you, that he is after you, he's pursuing you, he's not giving up. So don't you give up either. That it is one of those things that we have to continue to remind ourselves that God is with us and he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, even in times of struggles or pain or challenges. He's mindful of you. He cares for you. In Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, he spells that out very clearly. Actually, let me just read it because, well. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Let me encourage you today to be in a posture of thanksgiving no matter what you're going through. To remain thankful, to remain in a posture of gratitude to our trustworthy and faithful God. And when you have doubt creep in, when you have moments of weakness, when you struggle, don't listen to the lies of the enemy because he wants you to listen. He wants to get his foot in the door with doubt and questioning. That it's impossible for you to fully understand what God is doing and therefore what kind of God is that? That's a lie. We have to get into the habit of preaching the gospel to ourselves every day. Let me encourage you to do that this week. Be intentional about seeking to know the heart of God. How do you do it? In his word, through prayer, through listening in prayer. Invite the creator of the universe into your circumstances. That's what your prayer life should be. Not, here's my list, God. Because he already knows. A couple of quick verses really before we start, but in James chapter 4, it spells out very clearly in verse 2. You ask, actually verse 2 and 3, you desire and you do not have, so you murder, so you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And he goes on and goes on in chapter 5, verse 16, and it speaks, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Do not let your prayer life slip. I encourage you, please, stay in the Word. How is God going to reveal to you what he has in store for you? And I tell you, if you've read the verse 100 times, it might be the 101st time that it means something completely different because the Spirit of God is now talking to you in a way that has a completely different application because that's what he wanted you to have at that very moment. Guard your prayer life. Guard your prayer time. Stay in the Word. Be encouraged no matter the challenges you're going in. And be a blessing to somebody else. That might be a challenge for you no matter where you're standing. Choose to be a blessing because you're blessed to be one. Be willing to share that testimony through how you live, how you talk, how you act. Be encouraged. Amen. Today's message is called, the title is God's Kingdom is Now. It's continuing the theme of this year, which is your kingdom come. The scripture text is only one verse. And despite what you might think, it's not that short. I had to kind of, as I was preparing over this last few weeks, I toiled with the fact that Psalm 103, this Psalm of David, is so power-packed, full of so much. And I came to the conclusion that there's probably about 6 sermons that can come out of that chapter alone. And so I'm focusing on verse 19 for today. let me encourage you to read the entirety of chapter one, Psalm 103. But for the sake of this text, and if you would, if you're able, if you would stand as we read, yes, it'll be short, only one verse, but it is worthy, as God is worthy, to stand in honor of his precious and holy word. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Before I start, or restart, I should say, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be in your presence today for who you are, mighty, sovereign, omnipotent, holy, holy, holy. You are so worthy. You're worthy of our praise. We just thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for what you are doing here in this place and in the lives of everyone in this room. We pray, God, that you would remind us of that love and grace and mercy and truth that you continue to show us. Lord, please help us to be your ambassadors. Help us to be your witnesses. Lord, please forgive us for those times when we've dropped the ball, when we've stumbled, when we've fallen short. We know daily this is the occurrence. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to remind us that forgiveness is perpetual. It is finished, past, present, and future, that we know Jesus Christ, our Lord, left it on the cross, washed it clean with his blood. Lord God, I pray for the families here in this place. I pray that your spirit would move and touch hearts, encouragement and blessing, strength and peace for all those who are in need of it, wisdom, clarity of thinking and decision-making, discernment for those who need it. I pray for all those who are struggling and seeking answers that you would provide those in profound ways. I pray that you would provide healing, miraculous healing, both physically and spiritually, not only on an individual basis, but in relationships, Lord. I pray for every marriage represented in this place. I pray, Lord, that you would be the center of every marriage. That is because of you that you bind man and wife together, that you would continue, Lord, to remind us of those things. Thank you so much for provisions that we can't even see or understand. We thank you for your precious word. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. We just come before you humbly this day. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth are pleasing to you, because not for my glory, but for yours and yours alone. I pray that this message would have meaning to those who hear it, not for me, but for you, God. That we would recognize your kingdom is here among us, and help us understand how we, as followers of Christ, can serve and offer up ourselves to expand your kingdom. And Lord God, may you bless these families today. May you bless them as they leave here today. May we go out into our mission field with a willingness to share the gospel, the truth, and the love of God. May we do it in ways that might be sacrificial, the way Christ did it for us. May we never forget what he's doing, what he's done, and what he's going to do. We praise your name. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, so a little context here in Psalm 103. As I said, the entire chapter is so worthy, but if you were to kind of navigate through this psalm, you'd see David doing what he does really well, which is to praise God. the very beginning, he goes through a sequence of that, of praising. And he's thanking God for the forgiveness of sin throughout this chapter. He talks about restoration in this chapter, deliverance in this chapter. Obviously, multiple times he mentions God's love in chapter 103. He talks about God's grace in verse 8. Righteousness in multiple verses 6 and 9 and 10. And it leads us up to this examination, I would call it, of David about man. That he's examining and reflecting on the shortness of one's life. And that a man's life is short, but that the love of God and the constant demonstration of this expression of love goes on and on from generation to generation. And then it brings us to our text. God has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. God is sovereign. His throne is in the heavens. His kingdom is in the heavens. It has great power. And so, as a kind of an introduction into this discussion, this study that I was taking part in, I see David at the very end praising the angels, calling out to the Lord and praising him. He's praising him because he's recognizing that his kingdom is in the heavens. And that is profound. That is unique. That is special. And so let's look at that profound love that's expressed in verse 19. You see, because if we back up to verse 17 and 18, just the veil is being lifted, right? For those people who understand and are in covenant with God, that have this realization, the veil has been lifted, and it is there that we can recognize that God's kingdom is in the heavens. Because before that, before the veil is lifted from our eyes, we don't understand that. And I say, as we're being sanctified in our walk with Jesus, the veil is being lifted. And as it's being lifted, we recognize his kingdom's in the heavens, but it's also that we recognize it's here among us, with us, upon us, right now. Now, there's many scripture references that talk about God's throne in the heavens. So let's look at a few of those, and it just kind of illustrates further this notion. Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. Psalm 47, verse 8. God reigns over the nation. God sits on his holy throne. And probably a verse that could be an entire sermon in itself is Isaiah 66, 1. Not probably. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? His throne is in the heavens. It's speaking to his sovereignty. It is an enduring sovereignty. It is not fleeting. It is not short-lived. His majesty is beyond our comprehension. It's not temporary. It's not uncertain. It is established firmly, whether we like it or not, whether we understand it fully or not. His authority and his rule over all of creation, the universe for that matter, is expressed in this one verse. This is not meant to be a distant deity that we can't grasp. It is meant to be a deity that is with us, but yet make no mistake, He is a reigning king over all. This reigning king that is intimately involved in the intricacies of your life, that knows the things that you're dealing with, that understands your heart and your propensities, your desires. That's the God whose kingdoms are in the heavens. Over time and history, as we look, we see many kings, many kingdoms. Scripture speaks of many of those as well. They've come and gone. And make no mistake, every one of them thinks that they're special, looks at themselves as God. They pay homage to themselves. They desire, if you look in the book of Daniel, it's always fascinating to me how these kings of Babylon are demanding that the law states that you must worship them in some capacity. And when they don't, they get super angry. Pay homage to me, they say. But they fail to do one thing. They don't recognize who God really is. They don't recognize the sovereignty of God, that his reign is forever. They're missing that completely. Even those kingdoms we've seen in past that actually have some degree of connection to Christianity. Small. They can call themselves a Christian kingdom, but are they truly seeking to honor God, or are they honoring themselves? Are they recognizing that his kingdom's in the heavens, and that through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, his kingdom is here now? See, when they do this, when they fail to recognize this, we've seen it over and again. And I would submit to you that maybe some people ought to pay attention in our current culture around the globe, because every single time it ends in failure. People become corrupt and full of themselves and selfish and prideful. They lack humility, and they fall. And they fall mightily. And the people around them are busy stroking the king's ego. Our king went to the cross humbly to serve, to show you what a king looks like. So we must, as we continue to look at this theme of God's kingdom, we must continue to open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, to receive the wisdom and grace that he offers through his precious word. We must hold firmly and fast to God's kingdom with humility, reverence, and awe. There's no two ways about it. We should never become complacent with the fact that God's kingdom is so great. It's so grand. It's beyond our full comprehension. And if we know the Lord just a little bit, wherever you are in your walk, but if you're new in your walk, or you're still seeking to know more and more, how can you think any other way? Now, we just celebrated Easter, and Pastor alluded to the fact that it's only a week ago that we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. And we cannot forget that. Every day should be a celebration of Resurrection Sunday. Every single day, because that is where we see God's kingdom and the expression of love that just blows our mind. And the farther we get away from it, how easy it is to start looking ahead towards Christmas. May it not be so. Psalm 103:19 begins with this eternal reign of God. And if we stop and reflect, we can see his ultimate authority in that. We can understand it. His rule and his reign and his unchanging. It's unchanging. We're the ones who change. We're the ones who step aside. We're the ones who get out of his will. And we're always asking what God's will is, but there's so many scriptures that speak directly about it. Some of them even say, this is God's will. It's us that move. It is us that turn. And maybe it's only for an hour. Maybe it's for a day. Maybe it's for a few weeks or months. Be encouraged. Come back. Turn back. It is a daily scenario that we've got to turn back to Him. From the time we rise and we celebrate the fact that we have another day on this earth, we must turn to Him. Because once we start doing it in our own strength is when we fall down. When we say things that we shouldn't. When we stumble. When we have thoughts that enter our minds that we shouldn't. It is an ongoing thing. We need Him every hour. Probably every minute. God's throne is established in the heavens. This is unlike those that we've seen come and go in history. God's throne is beyond the limitations of time and space. But in doing so, it reassures us of one thing, that he is steadfast. He is faithful. And we have to continue to remind ourselves of that as well. Because when we're going through tough times and struggles, and when we see challenges or moments of stress, because boy, don't the things that come out of our mouths during times of stress, aren't they the worst? Just ask my family. What comes to mind is the fact that God is faithful. There's a song that is called Always by Chris Tomlin, and it speaks to His faithfulness. I'm not going to read it or sing it because, well, let's just be thankful. But he goes on and he says, "You gave sight to the blind, the dead came to life, and there were wonders and signs, and you're still the same." You have provided the power to save. Your mercy is mighty, age after age. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. And again, this is part of this process that I was experiencing last week as he continued to tell me how faithful he is for my benefit. That always, 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 He's the same yesterday, now, and always. That is who God is. That is His kingdom. It doesn't change. It doesn't waver. A point of application for us to think about, that He's worthy of our trust and humility in His everlasting kingdom. How often do you think about God's kingdom, and do you do so that way? Do you reflect on it with awe and reverence? And if not, have you thought about why? The Creator of the universe. I would submit to you to pray about it, to pray that the Lord would bring His kingdom to mind, to bring that awe and reverence back, so that every step you take is a recognition that that was a gift. That breath you just had was a gift. That the God of all creation loves you enough to let you live in this place so that you can tell others of how awesome He is. That we would be reminded that His kingdom is in the heavens. I think it would change your entire outlook on life. We would stop thinking of this world as our kingdom. We would take the focus off ourselves and place the focus where it belongs, on the all-powerful God of all creation. Think about what Jesus did when he was in his ministry. That's exactly what he did. He demonstrated humility. He led by serving others and God. He was the perfect model for us to see exactly how we should respond to God's incredible kingdom. And just ask yourself, do you think the world might be just a little bit of a better place if this is how people lived their life? In constant recognition and realization that this is a world that they are part of something that is far bigger than we can really comprehend. This small part of God's creation, but remembering that God loves us right here, right now. I still can't wrap my head around it. I struggle with that. God is, he is so good. His kingdom is constant. It's perpetual. It's ongoing. It's unchanging. And it's right before us every day. His beautiful kingdom is right before us every day. Let's continue looking at the second part of this verse, this verse 19, proclaiming God's kingdom rules over all. His rule extends over the entire universe, encompassing both the seen and unseen realms. You see, we're human. We can only really see things that we can see. We can't see beyond the universe. And there's many who are trying with fancy telescopes and such. But nothing is outside the scope of God and His authority. And if ultimately His purposes will be fulfilled, His divine plan will come to be. See, we struggle with God's timing. That's part of it. We're impatient. We live in a microwavable society, as I like to call it. We want God to answer our prayers in our time, not His. Our patience is limited in most cases. It truly requires a spirit-led heart to be that patient, to wait on God's timing. And we have to, because God's kingdom is actually going on now. You see, the heavenly realms is where the full manifestation of God's kingdom is. We can't see that until we come to meet Him. But while we're here on this earth, in this life, we know, we've seen examples that show us a glimpse that God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is now. Calling us to be patient, calling us to wait on Him, to wait on the Lord, to be in a place where we can trust His timing. Which is a challenge for many. But it's a present reality that we should come to grips with. God's kingdom is now. It is not just off into the future. We've seen it. We've experienced it. When we see examples of what Pastor was referring to with Miss Esther and other miracles like that, God's kingdom is before us. And even in smaller scenarios with healing and reconciling of relationships that some may never have thought was possible. Or seeing examples of love and grace in places where you never thought it could be. God's kingdom is now. Yes, His kingdom rules over all. We see the active reign of God's kingdom right here in our midst. It is a comprehensive kingdom. It touches every aspect of our lives, whether we recognize it or not. The stars in the sky, yes, but the intricacies of our daily lives, your heart beating. The rules, the laws, the justice, the righteousness of God. The hope we have in Jesus, the love we see in this world, which is often tainted by uncertainty and turmoil. God's kingdom is now. It is a present reality. Now, we look in Scripture, we can see some examples where Jesus makes it very clear that it was in our midst. And Luke 17 is one example, verse 20 and 21. We're being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. He answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." It's present. Other scriptures where Jesus is healing on the Sabbath. Matthew 12, 28. "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." And later we might see it's believed to be the same man in Luke 11. "But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." You see, there's multiple examples. We could go on and on where you can see where Jesus specifically refers to the kingdom coming, being present. Now, it's not fully known. There's so much more yet to come. It is a profound mystery, that is true. But seeing those glimpses should encourage us, should inspire us, should remind us that what's not been fully revealed will be. And even though it might be limited in scope and effects at this time and present in our presence, God's plan is still divine. His intentions are still the same. It's clear in Scripture that he said no one should perish. That's not his desire. His kingdom being present now in each one of us as believers through the power of the Holy Spirit is intended to draw many to him. And we can certainly make the distinction between, "Oh, well, I'm a believer," and "he or she is not." We love doing that. "I've got the kingdom in me, but I can't speak for that guy." And those are things and examples and scenarios where we should absolutely pray for ourselves, number one, that we stop thinking like that. But secondly, that we pray for the possibility that a seed could be planted, that the draw of the Spirit for that person, yes, of course. But we know that throughout Scripture there are examples where the kingdom appeared to be present with some, and we know that it wasn't. And this is tricky business, the enemy who is so slick to mislead us into a way of thinking. See, in Matthew 7, 21 and 22, we're reminded of this. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works, many mighty works in your name?'" You see, there are people who are more in love with the healing than the healer. You see, they're putting on the good show. They want the saving, but not the Savior. They're focusing on the power of God, but not the purity of God. You see, we do serve an all-powerful God. But see, many will look at the actions of this God and not the heart of God. They're going to love the wonders of God, the miracles, and not seek his will. That's a dangerous place to be. And we, as believers, should seek discernment and make sure that we're guarded, that our hearts are guarded, that we're protected by this precious word, and our prayer life should reveal that, or how we live, how we walk, how we think. We want him, not the stuff that he does. In Matthew 13, 10 and 11, it's very clear. We've got to listen to what he's saying and him. not the actual things that he does. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to him in parables?" To them in parables. And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." You see, we can understand what God wants us to understand about God's kingdom right here, right now. And it may be limited, and that's okay. Because it's going to come in all its fullness. We've got to pay attention. We've got to stay prayed up. We've got to stay in the Word. And that may seem like, oh, that's simple. That's simple. But is it really? Something that really resonates with me daily is blind spots. I say it often. Because it's just when you feel pretty solid about your relationship with the Lord where those blind spots reveal themselves. Where maybe there's something that you took for granted in your circumstances and it creeps into your life. And you may not even realize it until it's too late, until it's already started to grow like a weed. Please, I'm not picking on anyone. That's not my point. My point is to stay in a place where you continually ask God to reveal blind spots in your life so that you can know with assurance that you're walking in step with the Spirit. Because he is going to return. He came to save. He's coming back to judge. And that too should be something that is heartfelt for each of us. In Luke 19, the parable of the 10 minas is actually revealing in that respect. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, "Therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return." And the rest of that parable is based upon the fact that what did those people do with what he gave them? But it is that nobleman who is the reference point of the return in the future, Jesus' return. See, God's kingdom is in its fullness is not present yet, but it will be. The nobleman was to return, and the expectation was that those working for him ought to engage in business on his return. That's actually how it's spelled out. How's our business for God going? And I don't like using that word because it gives a negative connotation. But in terms of the investment, in terms of the time that we spend seeking to serve the Lord, that kind of business. So how do we proceed? Question to ask, an application point is, what are the implications for our faith that God's kingdom is now? What is it we're going to handle as far as the business of God's kingdom now? And there's four or five ways that I'm going to illustrate here today what that should look like. What God revealed to me, that we must trust, we must be willing to participate, that we must seek him, and that we must serve. See, when we come to an understanding of the present reality of God's kingdom, it's profound. We must trust in God's sovereignty. That's the first thing, to trust in his sovereignty. Even in challenging times, we can rest in his assurance. He's in control, and he's working all the time. Romans 8:28, it's a popular verse, powerful verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. It goes back to the veil being lifted in our understanding that there is a greater purpose. And God is good. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, probably my life verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. This is the implications of our trust. He will make straight your paths. Joshua 1:9, another popular verse, and it speaks volumes because we know the context of the circumstances. And Joshua is essentially the appointed leader now. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you forever. Excuse me, with you wherever you go. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We have to trust the Lord. Because it's not going to always be sunshine and rainbows. We're going to have major challenges in our lives. But he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. And he calls us to be strong and courageous, to trust him. Another concept, something else that we should put into our faith walk is to seek his kingdom first. We've heard this before in Matthew 6:33. Prioritize God's kingdom above all else, aligning our priorities, our values, our actions with God's will and his purpose. Where is our focus, especially in tough moments? It's easy for me to say. It's easy for me to say when I'm not going through challenges. Oh yeah, I was sick. Big deal. We can't do it alone. We need the Holy Spirit. We should be praying that the Holy Spirit continues to move in our lives so that we too can continually seek him first. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We know that's about worrying about things that don't matter. But it's not talking about worrying about things that do matter, because he's saying, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's everything. It's not our nature, but it's everything. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. What's often missed in that verse, for me, is the testing part. That by testing you may discern. What does that testing look like? That's a challenge. A lot of times we don't want to face it. But it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is through our walk with the Lord. It is through our trusting of him and seeking him first that the kingdom of God is revealed. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. You have to trust him. You've got to stay in his word. You've got to seek him willingly, diligently, sincerely, not going through the motions, and be a doer of the word, as James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. As I said, there are others. There are people who call themselves believers who are going to fall into that category. They're going to be deceived into thinking that their good works is all that God needs to see. It's going to bring them into a position of favor. And certainly God does want us to do good works and to serve him well. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. But the truth is, it's after we've been saved and we've been inspired by the love of God that we're actually willing to go out and do those good works. It is by the faith of God that we have in Jesus, the faith we have in him, that leads us, inspires us to go out and be doers of the word. Another principle is to participate in God's kingdom, in his work. We're called to be agents of his love is reconciliation. In some cases, it might be a justice scenario that we have to interact. We got to share the gospel. We've got to serve others. We've got to advocate for others. We've got to be in a community with other believers. None better than this community right here. I'm so thankful and humble to say. We're called to live as citizens of God's kingdom here and now, aligning our hearts, our minds, our actions with His will, His purpose, and prioritize the values and principles of His reign in our lives. How do we do this? Through prayer, through worship, through obedience, through meditation on His word, through serving, to advance God's kingdom in our spheres of influence. See, it's not just about you. If you've been saved, praise God. This is how I thought for years, and I'm so thankful that God finally opened my eyes and said, look, it's not about you. Go tell others. Through words and actions, tell others. Plant seeds. Be available to help with the harvest. So a point of application as we look at those implications of our faith, are you actively seeking to align your heart, mind, thoughts, and actions with God's kingdom? And don't feel bad. Start thinking about it in those terms, praying about it. Where can you expand those things? Where can you look to be in a posture to align your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your actions with God's kingdom? Asking God to reveal those things to you, to shine the light of God right here, right now, in the present. Being a source of encouragement and comfort in time of need for many. Being available to do it. Because see, most of the time, it's not going to be when we plan it. It's going to be when we're not planning it. To provide a kind word or go the extra mile. To be the manifestation of God's kingdom on earth. To live with humility and integrity that others would question and wonder, what is it about that person? It's clearly Jesus. It's the kingdom of God living in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. To be a window to Jesus for the kingdom of God. That the God of me, small g, would get out of the way. That recognition that the God of me has no place where the God of all glory and all creation would have His way. That others might see it. Another principle for us to focus on, to pray about, is by serving in the kingdom. And there's so many applications for this here at the church, locally in St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay, the state of Florida, or elsewhere, overseas, somewhere in the United States. Pray about those opportunities to serve. What comes to mind is Matthew 14:29, where Jesus said, He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Application, would you pray for God to reveal how you can serve? Will you step out of your comfort zone? Will you step out of your boat to expand God's kingdom in the present? Will you ask God to reveal opportunities and blind spots that might be preventing you from seeing those opportunities clearly? We acknowledge God's present reality. We anticipate its full manifestation in the future. And we're encouraged to pray for God's kingdom. Matthew 6:10, which is really part of this entire discussion this year. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I had the good fortune of going on a mission trip in spring break. I was with 22 students and three other chaperones for Calvary, the school that I teach. I'm privileged to teach at. We went into the city of New York. And you can see on the slides that I put in this right here, you can see all of us there. That is the New York School of Urban Ministry. And their focus is to be in outreach with multiple churches throughout New York City. We served in the five boroughs of New York City in 5 days. You can see we're at a food pantry in the Bronx, the largest food pantry in New York City, connected to a church, but not serving only Christians. And if you can see some of the students there, one of the chaperones, there was so much abundance of provision. These people are literally coming with their shopping carts to fill them up because they're food insecure. We've got the sidewalk was filled with food. What a gift, what a blessing. I had to intervene to protect my people because they were being swarmed by people who wanted mandarin oranges. There's a picture of how crowded it was out in front of that ministry. We also went to a few other places. That's inside the pantry as well. You can keep going. That's the prayer station where students and one of our chaperones was there to pray with people who needed it in multiple languages. One of my students there who speaks Spanish fluently. And everywhere we went with this ministry, we went there with that purpose to pray. This is inside the food truck. Every place we went, we brought a food truck to give away free food to encourage people to come and to pray with us and whatever their needs were. We were on the Staten Island Ferry. That's a fun picture, but we were literally walking up and down, praying for opportunities to share the gospel message with total strangers. Talk about coming out of your boat. That's in Brooklyn where we were doing street ministry. That's one of our students and one of the leaders of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. And we're right in front of a courthouse, and you can see as we go through, there's a couple more students. We're literally engaging complete strangers about the love story. This is a VBS kind of expansion. This is a church. That's the size of the church. That's it right there. It's that room. That's the church called the Expansion Church. The purpose of that church is to serve migrants who have been shipped to New York from Florida and Texas. And the kids were there getting face painting and stuff along the streets. Well, actually, that room was filled with food and food items, toiletries, and clothing because these people don't have much. And outside was a prayer station. We had opportunities to pray with multiple people and share the gospel message, give out tracts. That's inside the church. That's the pastor of the Expansion Church in our group. That's how big it is. Praise God for our campus. And here's probably the most unique ministry we had, which was completely unintentional. That's our students singing and worshiping on the subway, praising the Lord, singing worship music, and many people were doing it along with us. Some were doing pull-ups on the bars there as well. This is the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. Our last day, we went to service there. What a gift that was. It was profound because I got to see students who were 14 years old, some of them, step out of their comfort zone to engage with total strangers, to be the hands and feet of Christ, to recognize that God's kingdom had come. Let us eagerly await the fullness of God's kingdom, yes, but let's actively participate in this whole process as our lives unfold. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us as our journey continues. May we continually submit to God's reign, trusting in his wisdom and goodness, and may his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that if there's something you need prayer for today, that you come and meet with pastor or myself or somebody in leadership, Amir. Don't leave here today. If the Lord is calling you, if the Lord is leading you in a direction, if you need prayer for something, don't leave here today. That you can experience the fullness of God's kingdom here today before you roll out those doors. If you need to recommit, please do it. Don't leave here today. We can never take that for granted. This is a community of believers who love you. I pray that you have a blessed week. I pray that your kingdom come in your life would have some resonance this week, that you would pray about opportunities where you can serve in whatever capacity, that the Lord would bless you abundantly, and that you would know that he loves you, and so do I. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message from Faith Fellowship, St. Pete, in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.